This is your African storytelling podcast, Tales from the Heart, where we tell you fictional paranormal African stories. Welcome to our third episode. I am your narrator, The Grizzly. We have one story this week, and as I always say, you must like it. Remember, you can send us an email, talesfromtheheart@gmail.com. Interact with us through our social media channels. Check the description for more details. Adventures are great, even with strangers more intense. Be careful while you're out there, or you'll have to make recompense. This week's story is titled, Something in the Caves. The feeling of guilt always begins like the pain from a pin prick. Then it turns into a red bump and begins to swell till you can't take it anymore, because at this point, you know you need to pop it and let out the pus. I have gotten to that point. I can no longer live with guilt. My silence has not stopped me. Rather, it has encouraged the rumors. It's time to share my story publicly. I don't care what or who comes for me. So I guess congratulations are in order, since you are the first to hear the true story. I met Lulu on Twitter. Her personality on Twitter was one you can't ignore. Her tweets were intelligent and sassy, without coming off as condescending. I didn't need to see her picture to know she was someone I could vibe with, platonically. I didn't have a girlfriend, but I wasn't seeking one. I had just gotten a new juicy job, and I wanted to ensure I had saved up enough before dangling in the relationship pool. I didn't even plan to date that long, too. Plan was, find a good girl, date for 3 months, and marry her if I liked what I saw. So when I finally sent a DM to Lulu, I wasn't thinking in terms of marriage. Her response was warm, and we became friends. Later on, we exchanged numbers and moved to WhatsApp. The first time we had a video call, I remember thinking, yep, I can definitely tap this, platonically. She told me she was in a relationship. I knew she did that to gauge my reaction, so I assured her that I was cool with it. After all, I wasn't looking for a girlfriend. This seemed to please her, and our friendship continued without drama. 4 months later, she broke up with him and reached out to me for a shoulder to lean on. This I gave gladly. At the time, I had taken my first leave from work and needed some adventure that would last 2 weeks. I refused to spend my leave moping or even mindlessly binging on TV shows. I told her this, and she suggested I go on an adventure. Well, it was tempting, but I knew it would be less enjoyable if I did it alone. So I invited her, since she was unemployed and heartbroken. I felt it would help lift her spirits, and she agreed. So we started making plans. After much deliberation, we decided to explore the east. We would stay in my family home in the village and take a road trip to tourist sites. This was her first time in the east, and I was eager to represent my region well. On the D-Day, we traveled together in my car. I was glad that she was with me. She turned out to be more pleasant in person, but with a stubborn disposition which I found cute. In 2 weeks, we visited museums at Aba and Enugu, the waterfall at Eziagu. I made her try out local food like okpa and abacha. But she didn't like both dishes. Anyway, we had fun. In the midst of our fun time, I realized I was getting attracted to Lulu. Who wouldn't? She was pretty in this understated way and smart. Even though we weren't from the same tribe, I was open to exploring this new found feeling with her. 2 days before our departure, she suggested we go visit the last site, Obunike Cave, which was in my local government. She had Googled it and wanted to see it. Me, I wasn't so keen because I had been there a lot. When we were teens, during the Christmas holidays in the village, we would always sneak into the caves to play. I told her this, and she clapped gleefully as she said, "Then you will be my guide." Her excitement got to me, and I immediately began to make plans for our adventure. Since Obunike wasn't far from my hometown, I borrowed a motorcycle from a relative. At 11 a.m. in the morning, we got ready for our adventure. Lulu found it weird that I knew how to ride a motorcycle. "Well, riding a motorcycle has become a rite of passage for people in my town," I explained as we took off. When we got to the caves, we discovered there were other tourists, a group of secondary school students from another state, and 7 adults. We paid the fee and waited for the guide to explain the do's and don'ts. As he spoke, Lulu made fun of his thick Igbo accent. Each time he said a word, she would stand on a tiptoe and whisper a mimicry of his accent in my ear. I was enjoying her closeness. Her perfume assailed my senses, and I desperately wanted to kiss her. So I turned my head and found that our lips was a breath away as we gazed into each other's eyes. Yep, she had felt it too.
"Bia, my friend, did you hear what I said?"
The voice that interrupted my magical moment with Lulu belonged to our elderly guide. Embarrassed at being caught in an intimate stance, we both mumbled yes and looked everywhere but at each other. The school children were the first on the queue, followed by the other 5 adults. Lulu and I were the last on the queue to walk into the caves. But before we entered, Lulu noted that some of the schoolgirls didn't join the queue and asked why. I had no idea, so I shrugged. The girls stood outside the cave with one of their female teacher and one other lady. Inside the cave, some parts had been illuminated, so it was easy to walk through. We could hear the guide's voice as he droned on and on about the drawings on the cave's walls. As we fumbled our way through the caves, I felt Lulu's hand grip mine.
"This is so boring. Shebi, you said you played here as a child. Well, yeah, show me around. I don't want the tourist diversion."
I protested against it, but our magical moment outside the cave came back to me, and I saw the possibility of having a magical alone time with her. We never had an alone time to ourselves at my family house. We didn't share a room, plus too many people. Today could turn out to be something to always remember on cold nights. So I held her hands and pulled her away from the other tourists. No one seemed to notice our slink away. We found ourselves in a dark tunnel, which was unfamiliar to me. I don't think I got to this point as a teen. Undeterred, I turned on the flashlights on my phone and guided her through the tunnels. We noticed the caves kept getting colder as we went further, and there were bones on the cave floor. This part of the cave was definitely different from the ones which tourists are taking through. When I asked Lulu if she was scared, she laughed and said, "For what? It's an ancient cave. What do you think your ancestors were eating?" I didn't respond because we emerged at a chamber. It was weirdly spotless. The red earth walls with chalk markings had water trickling down and pooling, nowhere in sight. It was like a small, invisible waterfall. It was beautiful, nature undisturbed.
"Look at this," Lulu called out.
I went to stand beside her and ran my fingers on a carved-in drawing of something I would call a... I don't know what to call it. I have never seen it on Nat Geo Wild.
"Interesting. Seems like your ancestors had a vivid imagination. Now take a picture of me with it. Use your flash. Now something for Twitter."
She had pronounced Twitter as Twitter. I took her pictures, and we both agreed the pictures were okay considering the lack of natural light.
"Oi!"
Lulu screamed in glee and giggled when her voice bounced back in an echo.
"Do it!"
she urged me. So I shouted, but then felt a punch in my midriff. It was Lulu. She laughed as she ran off towards a pocket tunnel of that chamber. Eager to play too, I ran after her. Her hide-and-seek game didn't last long because I caught her. Winded up from our game, we collapsed on the floor in laughter, and Lulu straddled me and began to fake punch me. I grabbed her hands and pulled her towards me. Once again, our lips were a breath away, but this time, I took a plunge and kissed her. She kissed back with enthusiasm, and there began the dance of tongues. My hands were everywhere on her body. When I tried to grab her boobs, she pulled back and hastily unbuttoned her shirt. Next, she unhooked her bra and leaned forward to remove it. At that moment, my breath itched, and I waited for the reveal. As she flung her bra to the side, my consciousness registered a crunch sound just before the cave got plunged into darkness. My phone, I thought in panic, and in a blink of an eye, Lulu was pulled away from my body. Her scream, as she got taken away, will forever haunt me. The second my brain processed the situation, I rose to my feet and fled the chamber in terror. I ran blindly through the caves with Lulu's agonized scream bouncing off the walls of the cave. Whatever took her was definitely torturing her. It was horrifying. I don't know how, but I ran through those caves till I found myself at the entrance. It was now dusk. The elderly guide and some men were there. It seemed like they had been waiting for some time. I collapsed at their feet and tried to tell them about Lulu, but words failed me, so I just pointed at the caves and broke down in tears. They must have understood whatever I said because the elderly guide and the other men whispered among themselves. I was too distraught to pay attention, but I noticed when one of the men left and returned with a goat. As the elderly guide took the goat's leash, he pointed at two men and motioned at them to follow him into the cave. It must have been almost an hour before they returned, with a mangled, bloodied Lulu and my smashed phone. The sight of her was too much for me to handle. How was I going to explain her death? Who would believe I had nothing to do with it? As I lay there bawling my eyes out and wishing death upon myself, I felt a presence before me, so I looked up. It was the elderly guide. He was angry as he said, "Why can't you people listen to instructions? I said no woman on her period is allowed to enter the ancestral caves.
It smells blood. That's why I asked if you heard my instructions, and you said yes. Now look what you've done. Her blood is on your head, not mine.
I didn't understand what he was saying, and when I asked for an explanation, I was told nothing. In fact, before I left the cave for the hospital, after assuring them that I would pay for the goat, the men insisted I swear an oath of secrecy. No one was to know exactly what happened to Lulu, or they would come for me. I was there, and yet, I still don't know what it was that took her. Every night in my dream, I see that chamber, and each time I try to focus and remember what we saw on that wall, Lulu's screams wake me up. I regret taking that oath. It had cost me a lot. I have been branded a ritualist by Lulu's family and the people in my hometown. If not for my family's connection, I would still be in Kirikiri prison. It's been 5 years, and I haven't visited Lulu at her family house since she got discharged from the hospital. What do you say to a woman whose tongue and fingers were bitten off, whose spine almost pulled out of her body, and is now confined to a wheelchair for the rest of her life? Please. That has been our story for this week. We will crave your indulgence next time. The stories for this week's episodes were written by Adachukwu Owundiwe and narrated by me, The Grizzly. You can follow us on all social media platforms. The description is below. Sound was produced and mixed by Blue Magic OD of Magic City. Also check him out on Twitter at BlueMagic_OD. Tales from the Heart is a production of Creator Library and Publisher, a digital library and publishing platform that provides equitable access to research and knowledge resources. Check it out at www.thecreatorlibrary.com. Goodbye from the underworld. Wouldn't you like to know?